Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. This morning, we're celebrating life after domestic violence. Yes, we're celebrating life. As tragic and heartbreaking as domestic violence is, it's even more disheartening when the victims of abuse exist in a perpetual state of fear and loathing. My guests this morning are here to talk not only about survival, but how to ferret through the fear to have a more fulfilling and thriving life. So this morning, celebrating life after domestic violence here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is Khadija Waliyahud, CEO of Jazz Underground International, a nonprofit full-service booking agency that provides resources and networking opportunities for artists and writers. Ms. Yahud is also founder of Mother Khadija's Domestic Violence for Youth Foundation, which promotes initiatives around the globe that contributes to the dignity, health, and well-being of women and children. Khadija currently serves on the Domestic Violence Fatality Team in Charlotte, and her life's work is eradicating domestic violence and bringing peace and security to victims of abuse. Also joining me this morning is Ms. Gourmet Fraser Darlington. Ms. Darlington is a psychotherapist for 21 years, a former teacher, a certified motivational speaker with Les Brown, and a best-selling author, and is featured in the book The Queen's Legacy. Ms. Darlington is the author of My Journey to Spiritual Restoration. This is an autobiography about her life and how she overcame poverty, abuse, domestic violence, and many serious medical death experiences, including being poisoned at 3 months old. All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us, Ron.
Absolutely. I'm excited, as always, to have both of you here. You guys are, or you ladies, you are familiar with this place. And in fact, I indicated earlier when we were downstairs that we are setting up a special office for you because you hear so much. So it's just good to have you here. And I wanted to discuss some of the things that you're doing. You have some events coming up and you're launching something new. Talk a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, Jazz Underground and Yvonne's Place, which is strictly for supporting and services for veterans, and Gourmet Darlington, and we've come together as businesses to do an international anti-violence campaign where we celebrate life from all the violence that's going on in the world that we've gone through as well, just to give back to society, to be the resource to our community.
Yeah.
And this is one way for us to give back, especially to children and veterans that we see get the worst part of the deal. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing, and we're able to start it in July. July 6th is our kickoff event for the October event.
Now, why celebrating life?
Well, as a survivor of domestic violence and almost losing my life, giving back to society is what I promised God I would do once He got me out of that situation. Mm-hmm. So celebrating life is what people just don't do anymore. We've forgotten how to live, and that's what our purpose in life is to live and to help people.
Yeah. Now, is this indicative of all of the folks who actually suffer from domestic violence?
Yes, it is. It is, Ron, because when I look back even at my life and see that, you know, I have to celebrate life. Yeah. I don't take it for granted. You know, every moment, not every day, but every second, is a second to rejoice because I'm alive, I'm in my right mind, and also there's no hindrance on my life. So, yes, we represent all the women and some men that have been violated and are in bondage right now because they don't even know what to do or where to go to arise out of those domestic violence situations.
Now, there is a fear and loathing, I suppose, of women particularly who are going through this, that there isn't life after domestic violence. Talk a little bit about how you're bringing together or actually inculcating into women who are survivors how they can actually celebrate life and then thrive.
Okay. Well, that's a great question, because as someone who arises out of domestic violence, there is life after domestic violence. As a matter of fact, there's victorious life, because when you have an opportunity to make your own decision, make your own choices, and that comes from really going within yourself to go back and tap into those dreams and those visions, things that you really wanted to do and things that I wanted to do that I couldn't because of, you know, being hindered in a relationship, or being told, no, you can't do this, or being told, well, you know, because of your age, or being told, well, because you're black, you know, all the things that I was told, which is really not the truth. What I had to do is to begin to tap into the different resources that lay dormant in me and begin to activate those things. So even if it meant going back to school so that I can be equipped financially to take care of myself and my family, begin to live my dream. So yeah, there is not just life after domestic violence, but victory after domestic violence, because those experiences that I had endured as a as someone who was abused, now I can use those experiences and come back to not just help myself, but help other people.
Now, Khadija, there is an emotional toll that takes place. So how does, you know, one who is a victim and a survivor, how do they grapple with the emotional toll? And then, of course, subsequent to all of that, be able to celebrate life?
It really starts with the mental. You have to mentally develop and train yourself that the situation that you got yourself into, you have to not necessarily get over the guilt, but change your mindset. So instead of looking at it as a negative experience that happened to me, how about take that negative experience, learn from what you experienced so you don't repeat the same mistakes, and then turn it into something positive. And that's what we all have done, and this is what the energy we're putting into this particular event is, to show people how to do this, how to get your mind right. And that's where it starts, because for me, it wasn't an easy transition. It's taken me 5 years from walking without a car, showing people, look, this is what I really believe and this is my passion. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone that is passionate about something, you can't break that passion. You can't break that dream. So if you can learn how to train and put into practice what your dream is, really make it more of a visual, then reality comes out of that.
Now, let me push you on something. You just said got yourself into it. Now, I know that there are some women who might take exception to that idea of getting themselves into that situation. So clarify what you mean by getting yourself into the situation.
We all are responsible for whatever decisions we make, good or bad.
Yeah.
And whether I chose to ignore the signs of the man that I chose to marry, it's still my fault. But I do not put blame no more on me, because I had to go through what I had to go through to learn not to do that again. But we are responsible for our actions and the consequences of that. It's what we do with the consequences and what we do after that determines the outcome.
Now, talk a little bit about the mission of Celebrating Life International.
Our mission is to make sure that we all come together and empower not just adults, but the young people as well as veterans, just to overcome any challenges. I mean, the world's just messed up. So we decided to take, as community advocates and just citizens ourselves, is just to make sure that we educate society. We have to re-educate, because we might know how to do something, but if we're not shown how to go about getting the free resources or linking up with the right people to work with, we're going to end up back to square one. So basically, we just advocate to end all violence, from bullying, sexual abuse, and just assist people that really need help, like the veterans.
Now, Gourmet, you deal with this from a clinical standpoint. Talk a little bit about some of the triggers that folks who are, and I don't know if an abuser is actually suffering from something that causes them to abuse others, but are there any clinical triggers that we should be aware of?
Yes. And I'm going to use myself quickly as an example. I remember prior to me marrying my husband, now my ex-husband, you know, I saw the signs. And even though I'm a psychotherapist for over 22 years, many times, you know, we may see things, but we don't want to acknowledge. We don't want to identify, because we figure that we're here to change someone. So the triggers were there. It was the possession. It was him being very possessive. Okay, what time are you going to be home? And you said you were going to be home at this time. Or he would withhold money. Okay, you just need to have this amount of money. So it was the question. It was the trust factor. And it wasn't that I did something to trigger that. He came out of a background that he saw a lot of abuse. His father abused his mom for all of his life. And even though he knew it was wrong, he did not have the strength to correct it. So when I got married to him, I also was in an abusive relationship because I was abused as a child, you know, between nearly being murdered at 3 months, being poisoned, mm-hmm. and sexual molestation and, you know, being stabbed and all kinds of stuff. And no, I didn't cause it. I was just the victim at that time because I didn't know any better. I was a child. But even as an adult, I brought those things into my relationship as an adult because guilt of not doing anything about it or not having parents that's supposed to support and keep me safe, not doing anything about it because we were very poor. So I didn't really live with my parents. Anyhow, what I did decide to do that, you know, we have to get to a stage where enough is enough. So the clinical signs could be over possessiveness, jealousy, holding money, telling you who you should speak to or who you shouldn't speak to, mm-hmm. Giving you a time when you should be at home. You know, different signs. Many times, you know, as women, we may say, oh, you know, he's so much in love with me, he's jealous. No, that's not love and it's not jealousy.
Yeah.
Because when you love someone, you give them an opportunity to express themselves and also give them the respect to hear them. We don't have to agree with everything, but we sure have to understand that we're all our own individual. Mm-hmm. So the signs could be from hoarding money or economical abuse where they're taking your money, from shutting you up when you speak, from actually calling you outside of your names. And sometimes women may say that, oh, you know, he's so much in love with me, he calls me, you know, this is my chick, this is my babe. No, my name is Gourmet. That's what you need to call me.
Yeah.
Now, if we're in love and we have a relationship, calling me love is wonderful. But anything outside, anything that sounds demeaning, it's not, you know, those are some of the signs.
Yeah. Now, Khadija, I understand that when you taking on something like this, it requires a lot of passion, and both of you reflect the passion. There's no question about it. But when a person is passionate, usually, you know, what you do, you're out there in the community and you're doing what you're supposed to do in terms of letting folks know that this is an issue. But there are some women who, you know, they shell up, they cower in the corner, they don't want anybody to know about it. Why are you so passionate about it? The obvious thing is because you suffer from it. But again, in terms of shelling up and cowering in the corner, most women do that. They don't share their experiences.
Well, Ron, I used to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was too embarrassed to even, my family had no idea what I went through up until I started coming up on the radio.
Yeah.
It's really more of just, are you ready? Did God choose me to do this? And I know he did. Otherwise, most people look at me like I'm completely nuts to get myself in a situation to where I could expose my security where my ex might find me. Well, I can't keep living in fear because that gives him more control. I need control over my family. So in order to do that, you have to conquer those fears in order to grow as a person and to learn not to go back to that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why I've kept my passion, is because I've learned to overcome that fear of the embarrassment, the fear of wondering what someone thinks of me,
yeah.
if I make poor decisions of being with the man, or how is the public's perception of my personal choices? How is that going to interfere with my career? So it's just learning how to take that negative into a positive and forming my career around my passion,
mm-hmm.
is how I'm able to continue to do what I do.
Right. Now, one of the things that I was really elated about was the fact that you're dealing with bullying. And as you know, that's a persistent problem in our school system. So talk a little bit about why you inculcated bullying into your program.
Well, children are our future. There's just so much going on in families. And it's not just children that are bullied. It's adults that are bullied.
Right.
Children get that from adults. They get it from other children. So it all works hand in hand because it's some sort of violence. It could be verbal. It could be physical. It's still a form of violence that's very similar to domestic violence.
Yeah.
In the aspect of the name calling, the targeting, the profiling, just basically looking to see where they can attack your weak point. So with bullying, we want children to know we have to change. We've got to stop this curse and start teaching instead of targeting the negative in a person. Focus on the positivity. Focus on where you want to go.
Yeah.
And just change the mindset.
Yeah. Gourmet, back to the really what I consider markers, something that identifies an individual as an abuser. And as we look at it from a child's perspective and as it from a parent's perspective, what should parents look for if their child is being a bully or if their child is bullied?
For instance, if the child usually, you know, comes home after school and the child, you know, speaks to the parent about the day and, you know, in the kitchen or kind of in the different areas of the house, all of a sudden the child comes home, the child goes to the bedroom, the child is quiet, the child seems very withdrawn.
Yeah.
The child is afraid to go to school. The child may say, well, he or she is sick, has a stomach ache, they don't want to go to school. You know, you begin to look at the signs, maybe even having problems sleeping, nightmares, shutting down when you talk about school. So the parent shouldn't wait for that length of time. As a matter of fact, my own son was bullied at school.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was a teacher. And because I have a relationship with my son, I knew something was wrong instantly. Not only was he bullied, he was actually stabbed with a pencil. He was hit in the head, and he began to have some seizure episodes. And I was running back and forth for a whole year at the doctor's. Now, I was a teacher at the school. When I approached, you know, the principal of the school and his teacher, his teacher told me, well, you know, you should understand that the kids have a lot of behavioral problems because you're a teacher. I said, well, that's not acceptable. It's your responsibility to make sure that my son is safe while he is in your care.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we have to pay very close attention to our children, and we also have to be paying very close attention to even the people that teach them.
Does it make you angry as a parent to know that your child has been bullied? I mean, do you get the feeling that you want to go and choke the child that's responsible for your child's suffering?
I was ticked off.
Ticked off? Do you want to cuss right now?
I was teaching. Can you imagine? I'm teaching other people's children, making sure that they're safe. And my son is in the same school, same building. And I'm picking him up and he has blood oozing down his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was stabbed. You know, his glass is broken because he was punched in the head and you know, he was flown to the wall. And the teacher tells me, well, you know, you have to understand because as a teacher, this is what the kids do. I said, let me tell you something, buddy.
I have to understand. Are you kidding me?
I don't have to understand anything.
You're right.
You have to make sure that he is safe.
Absolutely.
So what I did, I called a meeting with the principal, with the teacher. I met with the parent of the child and I says, I'm not going to ask you to do something. I command you to get this right now.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, I'm going to take it to the next level, and I will expose it.
Yeah,
because
I'm going to sit behind a trash dump in the back of the school.
That's right.
I'm going to be waiting for some folks. Khadija, do you ever fear that the bullier might, and even the bullied, that they might carry those behaviors into adulthood?
Well, most of them do, unfortunately, do, because you hear about them with stories. But I think my fear is, when is it going to stop?
Yeah.
When does the bully ever say, I don't want to be a bully anymore? When are we going to get to that point where we can change them on their own to where they know what they're doing is wrong?
Right.
So it's not so much a fear for me in that aspect. It's the aspect of, when are we going to get that control to where we can stop teaching or recognizing when a child is becoming a bully or adult is bullying? How can we prevent that from going any further?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I want you to talk specifically about the resources that you folks need for your program. If I had, for instance, an opportunity to write you $1 million check.
Ooh.
And just go right into the, you know, my bank book and just write the check, what could you do with those resources?
What we would do with those resources to capitalize on what we currently have, I know Yvonne's Place, the Supportive Services for Veterans, they're looking for a center so that they can help more veterans and spouses of veterans and children to train them for jobs and get their resume together, show them the etiquettes of the success, how society treats people, how to be self-sufficient, how to go back to school, how to learn how to use a computer, just things that we need in today's society to even take us to the next level with our career.
Yeah.
That, and then we have the therapeutic side. These people need help.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to provide not just a place, we want to provide a place that they can go and get the actual resources that they need from, if it's assistance with their rent, if it's assistance with whatever that they need to become self-sufficient.
Yeah.
It's about re-educating them. It's about not molding them, but just guiding them, being another resources that they might not know exist so they can capitalize so that they can take care of their families.
Right. Now, if a woman is in an emergency situation, she decided to extricate herself out of that situation, in terms of choosing particular types of residence or shelter, what should they look for?
Well, there's different resources right here in Charlotte. So whether it's if they didn't want a shelter, they may be different types of housing situations. also residents.
Yeah.
The only problem is their identity might not be disclosed. So they can check into any of those places. I would also say that they definitely need to get some type of therapeutic help.
Yeah,
because you have to trust somebody. And for parents, they have to trust somebody because you have children. You know, it's one thing if a person or a woman is not ready to move into the next direction of, you know, letting the world know or letting people know that she needs help. Mm-hmm. But when you have children, you don't really have much of a choice.
Yeah.
Because your responsibility is to make sure that the kids are safe.
Right.
So, as Khadijah said, not only will those services be provided, I think my focus as a clinician would be to impact families in not only therapy, but also finding helping them to find their purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm not in a position, and that's not one of the things I really, like to do, to give people a fish. Because what's going to happen next month and what's going to happen the month after? Begin to teach them to tap into their own resources that they have within them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
mm-hmm.
it's taking a class, whether it's doing a course, whether it's going back to school, even to find themselves and begin to use, you know, their skills or their newfound skills to do something with it.
Now, do you think the city of Charlotte and perhaps even Mecklenburg County, do they have enough resources and even facilities to help victims of domestic violence?
I don't think it's ever been so much not having enough resources. It's just knowing where they are, because people just only talk about domestic violence in October or right before it happens. And it's like, October is not just the only month that this happens. It happens from January all the way through the year.
Well, I feel good now, primarily because, and this is a question, am I the only radio host in town that actually does this program beyond October?
You are the only radio station, Ron, that does this. This is why we are regulars on your show, because you really understand the need for the community.
Sure,
and that's the thing. It's one thing to be aware of domestic violence. We as partners have gotten away from making people aware of domestic violence. How about, this is what we have to offer to help you with your situation.
Yeah.
You know violence is going to happen. Everybody has television. Everybody listens to the radio.
Right.
Everybody reads the newspaper. So how about take it a step beyond that and show people where these resources are? You don't maybe not know how to use a computer. Okay, what phone numbers can you call? Mm-hmm. What are some self-referral places where you can get some food?
Right.
What about legal services? I'm a paralegal, so I offer legal services based on income because not everybody can afford to get an attorney or to do the paperwork. So it's just a matter of knowing where to go, because there's a lot of resources out here that's free.
Yes. Now you have an event coming up. Talk about the event.
Well, the event is July 6th at Anthony's Caribbean Grill, and it's at Sugar Creek location, not the one downtown. It's Sugar Creek and W.T. Harris. And basically, Anthony Caribbean Cafe has sponsored the food, the music, because he's a huge community advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted all of us to come together and really, really put an impact in society, a really dent in Mecklenburg County.
Right.
And I think this kickoff is going to really change how we as businesses come together and really help us revamp our minds and why are we doing what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just doing it because it's just to put money in our pocket and pay our bills? Or are we really thinking about helping our community and using our own resources to do that?
Right.
And that's where makes this event so unique, because that's what we're doing. We're using our own resources to do this.
Yeah.
We need more money so we can continue to help more people. This is the only reason why we're doing a fundraiser, because we really want to continue to do this.
Right. Now, Gurmay, you are a best-selling author, of course, a victim of domestic violence, and you will be participating in the event. What do you hope to accomplish?
What I hope to accomplish is to begin to tell people that even though I'm a professional, I also had to arise out of domestic violence.
Yeah.
And to teach them that, you know, they should not be embarrassed. And honestly, I don't think anyone knowingly would allow themselves to get into a violent relationship, but it happens. You know, we have been in a relationship that didn't turn out the way. So just to begin to let people know that, you know, violence happened to people that are also professional.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, when will enough be enough for that person? And when are they going to get out of it?
Now, Khadijah, I saw a video of you on Fox News.
Oh,
it's almost
no.
like my
he
nemesis.
Would do this to me.
I'm sorry.
This is your life.
But it's pretty clear to me that you have established yourself as a strong and visible presence in the community as it relates to this issue. Do you ever hope or wonder why there aren't any more national figures that are intimately involved in this process?
people, well, you have to believe in what you believe in. And some people is just in it for the money. They're in it for the wrong reason. And it shows because they only do it around that time.
Yeah.
It's not like it's constantly on their mind. So, I don't know. I just I'm passionate about this.
Yeah. But when I look at this issue, I mean, if you translate this into something about politics, you know, a lot of national figures will, you know, hurry to get to the microphone or to the television studio. But domestic violence seems to be one of those issues that, again, they're a little afraid to get involved with.
Well, you know, that's why we have Patrick Cannon, Mayor Pro Tem, to speak at our event, because he's so passionate about this particular topic. And people don't know what all he does in the community. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, he's just a politician. No, he really cares about us. He's coming to our event to support domestic violence survivors and veterans. So we need more figures to come and say, look, we approve this message. We approve that we need to stand up and do something about this.
Yeah,
and Women's Commission's going to be there. Mike Sexton's going to come and speak because he's the educational specialist on domestic violence, so that we know any other questions that people might have or myths can be addressed here, so that we can learn to fix the issue and move on and do better with our lives and our families.
Right. Now, Gurmay, with respect to your books and with respect to your spiritualism, because before going on the air, you kind of inspired me in some things that I should be doing in my personal life. How does the spirit, how does that personal spiritual journey play into where you are spiritually and where women should be after suffering domestic violence?
Before the book was written, Ron, I had a lot of issues that I had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And because I had not dealt with those issues, my spirit, I felt as though it was blocked up.
Yeah.
And until God told me, no, you have to write that book, he gave me the name and whatever, and I wrote the book. And I had some hesitancy because as a psychotherapist, a teacher, you know, motivational speaker, best-selling author, and all these different wonderful titles, they're just titles and they serve a purpose, and it's a good purpose. But then I had to get in line with, my spirit had to line up with my flesh. So my flesh was all over the place, you know, the tribulations, the trials. And until I wrote that book, I had no peace. And what began to happen is that as I began to write the book, I would be weeping. Many people don't know this, and I haven't told anyone this, but I would be literally crying, because when I had to go back in time and remember all of those different stuff, you know, from being stabbed, from being poisoned, from being raped, and all of these different things, it was my soul, my spirit was just longing to be free from it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I wrote the book, I just began to feel a lot of release, and I began to feel this calm, this peace. And it was only at that time when the book was published, it was like, okay, it's published now. I was be able to go back and tap into my creativity.
Yeah. Well, we have just about a minute left. Time really flies around here. It's just amazing. 1 in 4 women, Khadija, has experienced domestic violence in their lifetime. Talk quickly about how this is impacting families and, more importantly, children.
It's interesting that you actually said that particular quote, because that's a reported quote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only 1 out of 4. It's probably
1 out of 3.
More.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we don't have more people reporting is, to me, that's the issue, is how can we break that? So we're trying to focus on how can we educate ourselves so that we know how to prevent that. Prevention starts internally. So that's what we're trying to tackle.
Okay. And the event, one more time?
July 6th. It's at Anthony's Caribbean Cafe on Sugar Creek location off of W.T. Harrison Sugar Creek. We will be having artists. We have a live band, Island Trio, The Traditions, who's singing Motown. We have Tonice. And it's from 5 o'clock to 7 p.m. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door.
Okay.
You can get your tickets at www.jazzunderground.webs.com.
And Gourmay, if anyone's interested in your books?
GourmayDarlington.com. GourmayDarlington.com.
And I do want to plug Yvonne's Place. It's www.aplaceforthenumber4veterans.org.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Again, celebrating life, and that is really a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Ron.
Thanks, certainly appreciate it. Thanks, now.
Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I'd like to again thank Khadija Waliyahood and Gurmay Darlington for joining me to talk about an extremely personal and sensitive issue, domestic violence, and their extremely important campaign, Celebrating Life. For more information, log on to www.jazzunderground.webs.com. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.